Welcome back to the CSPC podcast.
I'm Maggie.
And I'm Lindsay.
This week we have Kelly Thorne and Molly Gribben joining us from our very own Catamount Sports Psychology and Counseling Office.
Kelly and Molly meet with athletes here at UVM and are a great resource for navigating the difficult landscape of being a student athlete at the collegiate level.
Maybe do you guys want to start by like introducing yourself to the podcast?
My name's Kelly Thorne, and I oversee Catamount Sports Psych and Counseling here in athletics. The unit has been in existence since about 2017-18 year. And I've been here at UVM for about 20 years in different capacities within our counseling and psychiatry services office, and really love being fully embedded in athletics and working with student athletes.
And I'm Molly Gribben. I'm an athletic counselor in CSPC. I have been here since fall of 2023, so beginning my third year here, and work on mental health counseling and mental performance work with the student athletes, and it's amazing that we have this at UVM.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Beautiful. To start us off, what are some common challenges that you see athletes facing?
Pressure, I think, is one that we see, whether that be like pressure from coaches or from family. A lot of the times it's self-induced pressure. You know, a lot of the athletes we work with are really high achieving and have a lot of perfectionist tendencies. And so when they're balancing academics and athletics and social life and trying to recover, and you know, it can be a lot. And I think at different points in the semester too, we probably see that stress and kind of the pressure and anxiety increase. It's common kind of in the fall for that to really peak, especially with how busy the fall is and how there's a lot of people transitioning to college in the fall. So I would definitely say pressure and like performance anxiety oftentimes in sport, whether that be in practice or in games, adjusting to like from playing a lot maybe in high school to joining a new team in college and playing at a different level and adjusting to a new role, as well as injuries is pretty common too, unfortunately, in athletics. So we work a lot with people who are either recovering from injury or figuring out their injury journey. I'll let Kelly speak a little bit more if there's other things that come to mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think from the kind of performance side, confidence is a big one that comes up a lot. And I think, you know, all of the things that Molly is saying also coupled with mental health concerns, you know, the full range of mental health concerns that students might be presenting with. You know, within the general student body, we see that within the athletic population too. And sometimes they're kind of grappling with both pieces, you know, something that might be going from a mental health standpoint, but then also how is that impacting performance, impacting things like confidence and motivation and enjoyment of sport and things like that.
What do you think are ways to mitigate that stress or that pressure during season while athletes are in season? What do you think are good ways to help tackle that?
You know, I'm sure we'll both add something. I think it, you know, a lot of it is, it's always hard because a lot of the work we do is individualized. And so it's always hard kind of to give just quick, like
a general
blanket ideas, but that is definitely, there's a lot of things that people can try and that we do end up repeating a lot to different athletes in terms of trying to help with pressure or managing stress. I think I'm always really grateful when people come in, even just coming in, like that can be a huge step of, and it can be, you know, intimidating, a little bit scary, especially if they've never done sports psych or mental health counseling before. So I always just give people so much credit for just making the appointment and showing up and using the space to just talk and process can be really helpful for people. You know, a lot of times, especially on the sports performance side, it's really common for athletes. Of course, they're putting in so much work on the field or the court or wherever, and they want some quick fixes with mental performance. And so there's plenty of things that people can try, you know, in practices or before a game, you know, like really focusing on breathing, you know, to slow down performance or to slow down anxiety. You know, we talk a lot about self-talk or like, how are you talking to yourself, right? Sometimes people are really just focusing on their mistakes, and that's making them think that they had a horrible practice or horrible game. So some of the things that we might do, especially with, you know, managing that pressure, is just zooming out and finding the things that they're also doing really well in their day-to-day or in their practices or games. But yeah, like I said, it really depends on the person.
Speaking from what I witnessed in the first year class, I saw the teacher of that class. He led a self like talk exercise and practiced speaking on what your positive attributes were. How do you see the role of coaching in that way affecting athletes? And do you see most coaches really fostering environments where athletes can prioritize their mental health?
I feel like I'm really appreciative of kind of the way that our coaches, lean into the mental health side of things, are open to talking about it, are open to making referrals of student athletes. I feel like, I don't know how it is at other schools, but from what you hear at different places, I'm not sure it's quite the same. I feel like the coaching staff are pretty well versed in things around mental health. And we've tried to provide some education, you know, about recognizing signs and symptoms, understanding kind of their role, what they can do in response to someone who might be in distress at times, creating a culture where it's okay to bring some of these things up, where it's not viewed as weak. I think that is a stigma that's been in athletics for a long time. And that's something that we've worked really hard to kind of try to dismantle and continue to do that. And so I feel like just thinking about the number of referrals that we get directly from coaches, it feels very much like, we get referrals from all of our coaches. So I think that, you know, for the most part, it is open for conversation and people are really appreciative. I think coaches are appreciative to have the resource available. And I think they encourage the students to seek out the support if they need it. I think we even hear conversations in recruiting, you know, when people are passing by in the hallway or if our doors are open and we meet families and students, you know, looking at UVM, that they highlight, you know, the sports psych and mental health services as a resource, valuable resource. So
that's really wonderful. That's definitely what I've witnessed in the halls, even mm-hmm. Just the community that you feel within, even yeah. just like cross teams.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like without consultation, I know it's hard to give blanket statements, like we said, but do you feel like without consultation, there's any sort of whether it's breathing exercises or any kind of general tips to help athletes with their overall mental health habits, being on a team, being in the team environment, working with coaches? Do you feel like there's just little things day to day that athletes can do?
I joke about this at this point because I talk about it so much, and I often will say I should just stand in the hallway and hand this thing out, because I think a lot of times athletes become so focused on the improvements and focusing on mistakes, what hasn't gone well, what isn't good. And I think then that can kind of feed into, decreased confidence, decreased motivation, just general frustration, could lead to some anxiety, could lead to some, you know, even depressive symptoms because there's not enjoying the sport. And so I talk a lot about focusing on things that are going well, if daily you could reflect on three things that went well today. Doesn't have to be performance related. It could be about how you showed up as a teammate, your work ethic, you know, the effort that you put in, anything, but just trying to walk away from even what seems like the worst day ever, whether it's even related to sport, you know, it can be things, you know, outside of sport, but just having some reflection time to think about what went well, what did I do well, what do I feel proud of? I feel like I talk about that a lot.
It sounds so simple, but it has such a big impact.
It sounds so simple. And oftentimes when we're talking about confidence, I'll ask people, you know, are you spending more time thinking about what's going wrong than what's going well? And more often than yeah, we don't even realize it because we're just human nature. We're just kind of wired to focus on like what isn't happening or what's not. And so once we realize that that's what we're doing, you know, it gives the opportunity to say, wait, I could also do, like, you can still do that if you need to, but you can also add these other things too, which I think can be really helpful. And sometimes people are surprised at the things they come up with. They're also surprised that they have trouble coming up with something at all, you know, that felt good.
Even that reflection in itself is productive and useful.
Yeah. I think another thing too that we talk a lot about, both related to performance but also mental health, is emotion regulation. Just finding ways to regulate your emotion. You know, if your body is feeling a little out of control, how to calm your body, and then that can often calm your mind at the same time. Or there are cognitive things that you can be doing to try to calm yourself too and regulate, that can also lead to rest. So I think of it as kind of like thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, and they all kind of are interconnected. And finding ways to manage, you know, emotions and our reactions to them in different ways. But
yeah, we're learning about that in class.
We are.
Yeah.
I'm like emotional into our class.
Yeah, like emotional granularity, like having, it's very interesting.
If you were to have a conversation with yourself when you were a student athlete, is there one big piece of advice that you would go back and give yourself?
Oh, good question. Yeah, I think I actually remember doing this exercise when I was a senior. I was asked that to tell like my freshman self. And I remember had said, you know, use all your resources. So I kind of have two pieces of advice. I think, you know, I think I was lucky enough to have a lot of resources at the school I was at, and I did use them. I think starting like kind of end of my sophomore year or something, but I think just a little bit sooner, taking advantage of the tutoring and sports psychology and nutrition and all of that, because I saw it helped so much once I started doing those things. I think looking back now that I have a little bit more space from when I was a student athlete, I was really hyper focused on my sport and succeeding, and stayed pretty in that athletic world at my school, friends with a lot of my teammates and friends with some other people on teams, but I didn't really expand beyond the athletic campus. And I went to a fairly large school, and there was a lot going on, and even a lot going on in the city. And I think, you know, it was really hard. My athletic identity was so strong at that point that then when I got injured or things didn't go well, it was really hard. I felt like, you know, pretty crushed. And so I think if I had expanded my interest and expanded my friends and gotten more involved in things, I think it would have been a buffer. Cause then, when I inevitably did get injured, you know, I struggle with that. And that was when I started to expand other things, which I'm glad I did. But, I think I would just tell myself to, you know, to still be focused on the sport, but you can be very dedicated and you can be interested in other things. And oftentimes we see that actually helps, because it lessens stress and it kind of spreads out the athletic identity. So that's what I would tell myself.
I love that.
I think I would tell myself to give yourself permission to make mistakes and be confident, be more confident, have confidence. That's easy to say, I get, but I think I didn't realize until after college that, gosh, looking back and delving into sports psychology and studying that I looked back and thought, gosh, you know, I didn't really have a lot of confidence in myself, and thus, you know, was kind of like, I played it safe, you know, a lot of times, like, or, pass the puck off instead of shooting it, you know, taking a shot at the goal versus, you know, and risking missing or, you know, not making it. But instead it was kind of like, found myself a lot of times passing it off, or and I remember instances where we would have captain's practices and I felt like a different player out there than when the coaches were there. And that's just interesting, you know, like, what was that about? Or what was that, you know, pressure or fear of making mistakes in front of coaches or things like that? So I think I wish I would have known all that was going on at the time and could have talked about it with somebody. It would have been helpful.
How much of your own experience do you find that you bring into your work as a counselor with student athletes?
It's a balance. I think it's a balance because I think it's really nice to be in this position. And I think it's really helpful sometimes for athletes. I won't speak for everybody, but I've seen that oftentimes it can be really helpful for athletes, like, to know that, oh, you were a college student athlete. Yeah. You kind of get it.
Yeah.
Or for somebody who is coming in for mental health counseling and maybe they've seen a therapist before, but that therapist doesn't have the sport background. I think they oftentimes really like that Kelly and I both have both. We have the mental health and we have the sport psychology, and then we both were athletes. So I think that can be good just for being able to relate. You know, I think as a counselor, you're also always aware of what's going on for you when you're in a session with somebody. And it's also kind of important to, you know, make sure you're not, you know, your experience is not someone else's experience. So make sure that, you know, the emotions and memories and things that are coming up for you to be aware of that and how that might influence what questions you ask or how you show up in the space. So that's just always something that I'm aware of, like, especially when I'm working with track and field athletes or somebody who did my same events in track and field. But then on the flip side of that, it also gives me an understanding. I know that event so well. Yeah. I maybe know, I can relate in a way that maybe I can't relate when I'm working with a sport that I never played. But I think I also really try and minimize kind of my experience, because it's not about my experience in the counseling space. And sometimes I'll share, sometimes people will ask me, someone asked me, like, what was it like when you stopped competing? And I feel like that me answering that question was going to be helpful for them. So, you know, I'll use my experience in that way when it feels helpful for the student athlete.
Pivoting away from kind of your guys' experience and back to our teams here at UVM, how do you think that team leaders and captains can be more aware and, like, mental health conscious with language and, you know, like, things like captain's practice when they're leading, you know, the group and just being a role model for a team? How do you think that, what are good ways for leaders on teams to be more aware and be more conscious of mental health concerns, whether it's, you know, activities, language, things like that?
That's a good question. It's hard to think about, like, quick.
it's not a quick fix.
I mean, but I do think that we try to talk. We've been doing some work lately with captains' groups, and kind of getting a sense from them about what are they seeing and hearing, and you know, talking through scenarios, giving some suggestions about how to have conversations, because a lot of those conversations are difficult. Whether it's someone coming to you and expressing that they're struggling with something, or if you know that someone might be struggling and you need to initiate a conversation in order to offer support or to offer some resources or things like that. So we try to talk about it, you know, in as much of a conversational way as we can. It really encourage talking to others and listening to others as you would a friend or a loved one or whatnot, that there's not an expectation that they are doing any assessment or diagnosing or, you know, even matching them, you know, entirely accurately to a resource. It's just having this kind of general knowledge of, and hopefully a little bit greater comfort level engaging in some of those conversations. So I think, you know, practicing that can be really helpful. I think having captains groups come together and talk amongst themselves is really useful, you know, about things that they might be hearing or seeing. And then certainly we're trying to help and support around, you know, the language and whatnot. And, I don't know if I would say more in detail about that, but
yeah, that's good. And just being conscious and, you know, offering that support and just being there for teammates, I feel like is already, you know, a step in that direction.
Yeah. Knowing that they can utilize you guys as a resource too, like, farther than just, like, their own mental health, but as a place to bounce ideas off of when it comes to having those conversations.
Yeah, and I think that's another piece too that we try to offer, you know, in our role, that we encourage captains, we encourage coaches too, but also, you know, any of the student athletes, that if they're concerned about someone else, they're always welcome to consult with us about that, if it would be helpful to just get some ideas about having the conversations or get some ideas about resources or how to offer that support, because that it can be pretty stressful and overwhelming when we're trying to help someone else or when we're worried about someone else. So sometimes just having that consultation kind of can ease their mind mind, and or just reassure that yes, you're doing the right things, or you know, the helpful things. So.
When we talked to Amy Sarcelle about, we talked to her and we spoke about it in our meeting as well, about fueling stations and throughout the gym and throughout UVM athletics. Do you think there's anything similar that would sort of be a helpful thing for CSPC, whether it's like a break zone or, mm-hmm. or, you know, things like that, little, obviously not saying it's going to come to fruition, but like other things like that, that you think would be sort of helpful, like physical throughout the building or throughout campus?
I love the idea of break zones, you know, having like a little relaxation space where you could have either a massage chair or the little egg chairs or things, you know, that you can kind of sit in and just have that yeah. space. Or we were talking the other day actually with Dr. Lenzer about the happy lights, you know, and even maybe trying to add yeah. a few of those in the building. That yeah. might be helpful. But yes, I think it would be great to have, you know, some of those little spaces. And we try to do that, you know, in terms of even just the tabling or some of the events that we do or the programming, to try to offer little bits of that, that we yep. don't have necessarily a designated space for it, but
yeah,
be nice.
Yeah, and I think like even, and I have to give credit to Kelly for this, but keeping our table outside of our offices filled with stickers and fidget toys and kind of decorated for different holidays, like mm-hmm. I think it's really sweet to, I think things get taken. I think the athletes really appreciate it. And you can kind of sometimes overhear them being excited that there's new things out there. So I think if there were a way to, you know, yeah, give them like that break or give them just a fidget toy or give them a de-stress something, I think that would be really helpful. And I think my hope is too that, you know, as CSPC continues to expand, you know, my ideal situation, I think, and I probably can speak for Kelly too, is, you know, just having more space so we could also add more space for you know, staff and more space for interns and just more space. But I think probably everybody at UVM would want more space, but I guess if we're thinking ideal sense that I can definitely see CC expanding and then being able to offer more.
Yeah. How do you, I know this was asked in the previous podcast episodes, but do you think, how have you kind of seen the journey of CSPC growing? And it's great to hear that you see expanding even more, hopefully, but how do you kind of see the journey of it growing throughout, you know, coming out of Center for Health and Wellbeing and Kelly working with CAPS, and how do you kind of see that progression over the past few years, your highlights?
Yeah, that's interesting to think about. I mean, I think we were, one of the things that happened for us specifically in the building was we were really fortunate to have a new space to be working out of. And I think that is, we have certainly appreciated that immensely. And I think the student athletes have appreciated too. You know, we heard comments pretty early on that feels like a little bit more private than maybe mm-hmm. our old space. It's much quieter than our old space. And so just to have students recognize that too, I think feels good. So we've appreciated that a lot. You know, one of the things that I say, this list has less to do maybe with some of the programming, but I feel like over time here, I've just noticed, and then having conversations with colleagues at other schools, I am always appreciative of how receptive the staff, like, how receptive people are to the mental health side of things and how respectful they are about the boundaries around mental health. You know, it's really hard when you see someone every day and you have them at practice and you're traveling with them and whatnot, and you're concerned about them and you refer them to us. And then we say, we can't tell you anything because of confidentiality. Like, that's not always easy. And I know that there are colleagues in other places who get a lot more kind of pushback, around some of that. And I feel really appreciative here that the staff are very respectful of that and know it and appreciate it, and also continue to make referrals and to continue to talk to us about the concerns that they have. And so that has felt like, you know, that's a huge part of the work. And so just knowing that there is that kind of, I don't know, it feels collaborative to me in a lot of ways. It feels like the work is valued, you know, by others too. And so I would say that I think that we're always trying to expand and develop. You know, some of the things that are in the works right now is trying to grow, offer some practicum and internship experiences for graduate students who are interested in sports psych and counseling. So we are really close to having our first practicum student here. I'm really excited about that. I think that'll be really nice. We get a lot of emails and requests asking if we have those opportunities, and it'll feel really good to say, yes, we do. Here's an application, you know? So looking forward to that piece. And I think that only benefits, you know, everyone here, the student athletes particularly, but also the staff, because it just expands our capacity in terms of what we're able to do and what we can offer. So.
Yeah. I think that's also great for growing the program too. Yeah. And I know we talk about a lot in our meetings, like trying to, you know, market and get the word out. Yes. And I feel like, you know, having a practicum student is a great way to spread the word.
Yeah.
When you first stepped into your roles, I know that, like personally thinking about going into the world of psychology is pretty like individualized in what track you can take. Did you picture yourself being in such a mentor position with interns and practicum, like grad students? And how has that been like rewarding or like different than you thought it would be?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know as I knew or had thoughts about the kind of the supervisory piece until late in grad school in my doctoral program, where we had opportunities to do a supervision kind of experience. Like there was a supervision soup seminar, if you will. And then we had opportunities to supervise other students doing some of the work. And so that was just a great experience. And I realized, oh, I really like this part of it. And so from starting off in CAPS, I've always had a role as a supervisor, whether it was with professional staff, you know, supervising staff who are working towards licensure, or our graduate, you know, interns, CAPS interns, and really do like that part. In fact, I think even when I was on maternity leave at one point, it was one piece that I was able to do from home. And so I kept, you know, doing some supervision. So I do really like it. And actually, I'm excited to kind of be doing more of that if we have some interns here, prac students.
It's an interesting question too, because I think it makes me reflect a little bit of just like where I'm at in my career and, you know, where I feel like I blinked and I was in grad school pretty recently and was at an internship site and was the one receiving supervision. And so it's been really nice actually to reflect on kind of the 3 years and being able to see the growth and being able to kind of now be on the other side of it, where now I get to be more of that. And I think it's something that I want to continue to step into and continue to grow. And I think with, you know, the SBC has a really strong, you know, base of offering these undergrad internships, which I think is great. And so that obviously allows for that type of mentorship of you all and getting experience and working with you each week. And then, you know, I'm hopeful for myself as I continue in the mental health counseling role and the sports psychology role, that in both those spaces I can continue, you know, as I gain more experience, then can continue to be what Kelly's talking about and be more of actually like a clinical supervisor. So that's something that I'm really looking forward to expanding in the coming years.
That's wonderful.
That's great.
Yes, have been great mentors. I will say,
like, great mentors. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is there anything else you would like to plug while we're here or talk about?
No, other than saying thanks to both of you for keeping the podcast going. Really appreciate that. Appreciate your efforts in doing this. So thank you.
We're excited. Yeah.
It's actually really, really nice to sit down and be able to talk and actually do a podcast.
Yeah. It's cool to hear more about your work too. It's cool to hear kind of what, I know we see each other every week, but I don't, you know, we don't hear much about, you know, what you do. So it's cool.
Well, great. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're very excited. And yeah, it's been very, I've really enjoyed talking to you guys about more about what you do.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found some new useful tips for managing mental health as a student athlete. Find us on Instagram @UVM_CSBC for updates and future episodes.